Hello, I'm Pastor Mark Cho of Revival Today. We pray that you enjoy this podcast. The message today is retain God and your knowledge.
Highly favored, blessed and highly favored. The message that God put in my spirit this morning is retain God in your knowledge. Turn to somebody and say, retain God in your knowledge. This word this morning, I want to talk about a few things because I want you to know something about your relationship with God. I want you to be aware that we have to be in a place spiritually where we know that it's important to remember the words that God had said to his body. To know that you're not left behind. You're not left without a hope. God is with you all the time. I know we're going through things in our life, and we hear the many testimonies. We thank God for our sister. Amen. Praise God for Victory Report. Let's give her a hand. We serve a God because he's a mighty good God, but not only that, it's because we know whom we serve. And I want to encourage you to retain God in your knowledge and know that there's things that are going on all around us, and the enemy is not pleased. He's not pleased what God is trying to do in your life, so guess what? He's going to be on attack all the time. And because he's on attack all the time, I want you to understand that it's your job, our job, to retain the understanding of the word of God in your heart. I want you to know that it's not over. You don't have to be muted when you go out in public. If you notice, you go to ball games and basketball games and football games, they can yell and scream, huh? And no one looks at them crazy. But all of a sudden, it seemed like the church have become muted. We don't want to mention Jesus anywhere. We don't want to share our testimony. You see how this morning when you hear the testimony of what God is doing in the lives of your people, it encourages you. There's a message that's out there in the atmosphere, and this message is hopelessness. This message of hopelessness is getting in the spirit of God's people, and we're getting to a place where we don't see the strength that lies within. God wants us to know that we have to retain his word in our heart. Romans 1:17, it says, behold, his soul which was lifted up is not upright in him. But it says, but the just shall live by faith. Somebody say, the just shall live by faith. I want to let you know right now is that you're going to constantly be under attack, but are you ready to live by faith? It didn't say just anybody is going to live by faith. It says the just. Those that already know the word and have the word in their heart and already decided that I'm going to live and not die. Some of us are battling illness in our body and we feel as if we can't make it. But I want you to know the just, those that love the Lord and understand that God is with you, are going to live by faith. We're going to talk about retaining God in your knowledge. Retaining God in your knowledge is this understanding is that when you have a sure foundation in your faith, no matter what someone says or do, you're going to continue to be established in the Lord. Now, when I say no matter what they say or do, that means you already have your mind made up that I'm going all the way in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you what he said in his word about a promise of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says this, and I want to set us up for what God is showing me today. When I talk about retain the knowledge of God in your faith, I want you to know this, is that he's already left a promise for us. God said he's coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. He had made that clear. He said it in his word. So many times we hear that. How many people hear that? Some don't. You see, this is why we got to make the vision and we got to make it plain. Because a lot of us are in faith and know the word of God, except to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Don't even know that his word says he's coming back. How many of you have experienced where you called maybe a parent or a friend or somebody, you called them up and said, listen, are you going to come pick me up? And they say, yeah, I'm going to come back at 8 o'clock. You wait in, then it's 9 o'clock, and they didn't come back. But the word of God said that to the church, that he's going to come back. And it says here, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with a voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So right there in the word, it says God is coming back. And he said, those that have died in the faith, those are your friends and family members, those that have passed on. The Bible already says that those that are dead, they will rise first. This is in the word of God. And then the next passage says, and after that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this is the word of God. So when you are going through, and I want to write the vision and make it plain in your life so that you know what it's all about. I know that the struggle that you're going through, even the pain in your body, but the Bible says here, makes it clear. He said, I'm coming back. Now, it's great to shout about the goodness of God here in the land of the living, but God has also said, there's a trip that I've already planned for you, and you are a passenger, and you're going to be brought into the kingdom. So some of us lost a loved one, or lost somebody that you love. God said he's going to get them first. Reason why we got to retain God in our knowledge is because the world don't want you to know who God is. Some of us have received salvation and received faith and don't realize that God didn't say, I'm just going to be in you and give you life more abundantly. But he said, I'm coming back for you. And half of the church didn't raise their hand. You know why? Because a lot of people don't know that this is in the word. You might have heard about the rapture. You might have heard that God's coming back. But you know what? We're not preaching it anymore. You know, when I was young in the Lord, I received the Lord at 7 years old. But I remember being ministered to about the coming of Christ and about the rapture. And that put fear in my spirit. You know, when I got saved and acted right. I want to let the church know that God is coming back for you. And I know that the world has muted us to an extent where now we even come to church and say nothing. But don't you know that in your praise, there's deliverance? Some of us have walked into the house of God and don't even realize that you have strength in your praise. But no, we took on the spirit of the world because we're allowing the world to mess with our mind. So he says, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him. So God is saying, I'm going to come, and you're going to be caught up together with me. So this is the promise of God. The work that you put in right now, I know you've been pressing on for a long time. But he said, I'm going to come get you. So I'm going to write the vision and make it clear. A vision is when you put something in your mind and you can hold on to it. This is why the church is losing strength, because you know what? We come in every week and every Sunday and praising God. Don't even know that we have a trip. Don't even know that there's a promise that God has already made clear in his word. So in the word of God, it says this, I'm going to come in a cloud. Now, that's hard because the world has gotten us to not believe it anymore. That's why preachers aren't preaching it. This is why we're not teaching it. But I want you to know that you can't get from A to Z without understanding the whole chapter. And the enemy wants us to get in a place spiritually where we don't know his word. And so because you don't know his word, you feel hopeless. And I want to let you know that God's promise is with you. And he's going to keep you. Give God some praise. So he said, I'm going to meet them in the cloud, the Lord in the air. And see, that's good because God said, and it says, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Someone said, be with the Lord forever. Now, I know a lot of us, we get used to people not coming. Even Sunday morning, you get used to people saying, I'm coming to church, and they don't show up. You get used to people saying, I'm going to come and take care of something for you, and they don't get it done. You ever experience that? What does that feel like? You feel a little bit let down. But I want to let you know that God's word has already promised us that he's coming without a spot or wrinkle. And there's a passage in Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, but I'm going to read 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Someone said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I want to make this clear. The reason why we feel defeated sometimes is because of our speaking, the things we're listening to. If you're in an environment all week where nobody's saying anything positive, the things that God has already promised to you gets lost. And so all of a sudden, you start to think differently and start to reflect on the things that you're going through. But this is why the vision in your spiritual life has to be clear. Now, what are you talking about, saints? Are you talking about the faith and the victory? Are you standing on that? No. What we're talking about is what somebody did to us or how somebody has let us down. But God has already said, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to never leave nor forsake you. Now, if the word says he will never leave you nor forsake you, and then he also says, I'm coming back for you, what is our problem? What is our problem? The problem is we're not retaining the fact that God has already said it, and we don't trust in him. That's why the scripture says those that trust in the Lord are going to live by faith. Now, to live by faith means this. Regardless of what's going on around you, I know that it looks like you're in sinking sand, but God said you're going to make it. If it says in his word that you shall live and not die, then it is so. If it says by his stripes you were healed, guess what? You are healed. But what is it that you're listening to that's getting you to a place where your head is hung down? Because the church is listening to the world and becoming mute. We can't say nothing wherever we go. We can't even give one another a praise like, how you doing, sister? Praise God. Continue to be blessed. God has a promise for the church. I'm going to have you turn to Romans, the first chapter, 27 to 29. And I'm going to talk about a reprobate mind. And a reprobate mind, I'm going to have you give you a little understanding, is a person that rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. When you get to a reprobate mind, you're a person that has been rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. So there's a passage in the Bible where it's mentioned what's going on and how we get to that place of beyond hope. So I'm going to have First Lady read the scripture. And it is the King James. Go ahead, 27. See, so right here it says, and likewise, men leaving the natural youth of the women. And the reason why I'm bringing this out, I'm not against people. I'm not trying to beat up on those that are involved in homosexuality or those that are involved in being lesbians. But I want you to know what the reprobate mind is. Reprobate mind is when your mind no longer understands the truth. Now, we're seeing this in the world today where you can tell somebody that this is a blue wall, and they're going to say because somebody told them differently, it's no longer blue. But I want you to know that we're living in a time where the church has lost its sight and they can't see clearly. So this is what's going on. So right here, it's talking about what God is going to do. So it says here, go ahead and read that again. So men are leaving the natural use of the woman. Go ahead. Now burn in their lust one towards another. Now this isn't a word of God. It's not me trying to hate on anybody. It's just me trying to get you in. It's just me trying to make you ready for when he comes in the cloud. See, this is what's wrong with the world. The world does this with us. Well, you know, you need to start changing the way you think about that. You need to start changing the way you think about living holy. You need to start changing. See, as you continue to change, guess what the devil's doing? He's getting in your business. He is messing with your faith foundation. And when he gets down to your faith foundation, you have nothing to stand on. Church, we can't stand on nothing because we don't know nothing anymore. So right here is saying that we are losing our natural use, even of women. Now go ahead and read. See, so it's saying men with men. Now go ahead, let's go on to the 28th. See, so it said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Someone said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So now I'm going to say, change it. They did not like, say it again, retain God in my knowledge. What's happening is the church is not retaining God in their knowledge. So when you start to change where you refuse to hear the truth, there's something going on up here in your mind. And that change that's going on in your mind is what the enemy is targeting. Because he's going to try to target us in a way so that our faith depletes. So like when you go to that basketball game and everyone screams and yells, but when you go and try to make a stand for what holiness is, you got to be quiet. I'm not telling you to, you have to be rude and run around and disrespect anybody. What I'm telling you is the word of God, is what's going on in your mind. Because there's spirits that are seducing you, church. The young people are seeing stuff on TV every day, and everyone is halfway dressed. And all of a sudden, there's a struggle to live righteous because all the girls feel they got to look like this, and all the boys think they got to look like that. And guess what? The mind is turning over to a reprobate mind. And what I mean by reprobate mind is where it turns over to the natural desires of the flesh, where it goes to a place where it shouldn't go. And this is where the enemy wants to take you because he wants to make you hopeless and you're not even able to receive salvation anymore. Reason why? Why don't you think you can receive salvation? Because what? Because the devil has your mind. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whomever believeth shall what? Whoever received Jesus Christ into their life. See, so you got to have a mind to say yes to the Lord. When you lose that, guess what? You lose your salvation. You're unable to retain. You're unable to get to that place spiritually anymore, even though you're sitting up in a church. Even though you're sitting up in a church and getting a word every week, you are not retaining because now your mind has been diverted. Because the enemy has a plan against you. And the world has a plan against the church, and the church is not lining up with the word of God. So go ahead and finish that, First Lady. And this is where the scripture says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not, what? Convenient. So God gave them over. Now, a lot of times we read this scripture and we think of it only with homosexuality. But turn over to a reprobate mind is when your mind shuts off. It does not receive the truth anymore. That's why some of our spiritual lives are shaken, because our mind has shut off. And we forget, and we don't understand anymore. We can't even retain it. You come in this place and you receive a word and you step your foot right outside the door and the enemy bombards you with lies, with things that are not the truth, and your mind cannot even rightfully discern the truth. And they were falling by the wayside. The church throughout the nation, all those around that used to praise God in the public places, those that used to praise God in the church and would shout and dance, now they come muted. Because through the week you were beat up, you were thrown down, you were told things. But I'm trying to tell you that God had said in his word that he's coming back for the church. And he said, I'm going to come in the cloud. This is the promise of God. Now, think about it. When you see them TV shows, you ever see Long Ranger and all them shows? They always have somebody that saves everybody. They can do whatever they try to do. It's going to work out. I remember when I was young, I would watch movies, and I always try to find out who's the hero. Because then if you know who the hero is, you know they ain't going to die. You're like, if I know who the hero is, I know he's going to make it through whatever he goes through. How about you? Are you going to make it through whatever you go through? The script was already designed for you. It was already written in the word of God that no matter what you're going through, I'm going to bring and deliver you. It was written in the roll. And because of that, that's why the enemy's trying to take the book and he's trying to rewrite the script and he's trying to change your role, change your name, change your DNA, change your sexuality, because he's trying to take you away from the promise of God that he said, I'm going to bless you and your generation after yourself. He's got something for you, church. Somebody praise God right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody praise God right now. See, when you go to a baseball game and they just threw a strike, all of a sudden we all clap. Oh. We watch shows on TV and they tell them when to clap. And guess what? We all clap. The producer stands up in the corner and says, they put up a sign that says, everybody clap. We come to the church and we can't exalt the Lord. Can't give them the praise all together. Come on, somebody. Somebody, I want you to know that your deliverance is in the praise. So I know sometimes it seems like it doesn't matter to say, yes, Lord. But I'm telling you, you got to release yourself to the will of God. Because the enemy is preaching to you every day. Now, I'm going to go over this one thing and I'm going to get ready to let you go. I hope you enjoyed this word this morning. Amen. So 23, go ahead and 28, read that again all the way through 29. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Somebody said they did not like. I wanted to bring out that word. Some of us don't like. We don't like anybody. We sit up in a church and can't crack a smile and wonder why people don't want to come to church. They did not like. I don't like what the pastor said. I do not like. I don't like how he is challenging me to live right. I do not like. I don't want them to tell me how to act and treat other people. I do not like. This is what's going on. It says in the scripture, they did not like it. So when you get in that little mood and say, I don't like what he done said today because he's challenging me to live right or to be faithful, I do not like. So now that spirit of I do not like takes hold of you and it's turning your mind around. So who you should be spiritually cannot even reveal itself enough to reprogram your spirit. Because you're throwing in all this, I do not like. I do not like. And know what you start to do now? Like that scripture about the tongue? Your tongue starts to say it. Your tongue, the first you were thinking it, but now all of a sudden your tongue starts saying, I do not like. I do not like. I do not like. You ever have a, you know when you have a child? And you know, he's only 2 years old. You didn't teach him to say no. But that baby knows how to say no in a heartbeat. No. No. And do you want to know? I do not like. This is what we're saying. So the scripture says what again? Go ahead. So they did not like to retain God in the knowledge. Go ahead. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He gave it over. And what that pretty much means, I remember back in the scripture, it was talking about the children of Israel. They wanted divorce. And they kept on saying to Moses, come on, we want to be able to divorce. We want to be able to divorce. So God did what? What did it say the scripture say he did? The scripture said that he said, okay, this is not what I want. But he gave them the desire of their heart. Now, he released them over to that. See, because what it is we, the church and the people of God, got to realize that it's not his will. It's a permissive will versus his will. Permissive will means you just complained enough and he said, okay, go ahead. I want the church to know, I want us to get closer to the will of God. Not permissive will. Permissive will does this. You now it's okay, okay? No, I'm not speaking against anybody that's divorced or going through. No. What I want you to know, permissive will is when God said, okay, I understand. I'll let you go this time. But it doesn't mean it was his will. So now when it's not truly his will, you got to put up with the other stuff. We come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I got to have it. I got to have that woman. She's so beautiful. I got to be. And the Lord's like, I'm trying to wake you up. That's not the one. I got to have it. I got to have. The Lord's like, I don't want. Then all of a sudden the Lord said, okay, there you go. Hey, here you go. Take them. Here you go. Here you are. 5 years later, you come into church. He done beat me. He done slapped me around, Pastor. And God's sitting there saying, I told you, you didn't want to hear me. You don't want to see. The reprobate mind makes us do things that are not in the will of God. And we don't want to pay for the price or the consequences of our mess. So when you turn over to reprobate mind, your mind continues to do things out of the will of God, continues to go in another direction, continues to debate with the Lord. Are we checking our mind, church? Well, how do you think? When you sit in a quiet place, does your mind speak positivity or does it speak negativity? Is it coming up with things to debate and things to argue about? Or is it bringing you to a place where the Bible says, think on things that are lovely? You know, your marriages, think on things that are lovely. Your children, think on things that are lovely. In your job, think on things that are lovely. When you do that, all of a sudden your mind changes. And now, guess what? You're smiling life. You know what I mean? That's why we can't have a good day, church. Have a good day. When was the last time some of us said, we love you, said, I love you to your children? Just turn around and say, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. When's the last time you appreciate them? How about husbands and wives? When's the last time you say, I love you? I really appreciate you. Change your mind, church. Change your spirit. Don't allow the enemy to get you turned over to a reprobate mind where your mind no longer can see clearly.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Choate. I hope that you enjoy the message today. Retain God in your knowledge. Please come visit us at New England Pentecostal House of Praise, located at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Sunday morning services start at 10 a.m. Come see you and be blessed. Tell of his goodness wherever.